And now he's got bird flu. Mark Maron.
Thanks. That's beautiful, Jim. 35 past the hour. You're listening to Progressive Talk AM 1150. And go to markmaron.com, MarcMaron.com, and have fun there. Call us, 877-520-1150. So I'm eating dinner last night. This is leading up to our guest. There's a couple things that I think I should talk about before I introduce Greg. I'm having dinner last night. I go to Dantana's. I've never been to Dantana's. It's a place that when I lived here before, back when I was a menacing demon fiend, it was always the hip place, the hang, the sort of, it was a little sleazy, but the food was always supposed to be good. But I never, ever went there, and I finally went there. My wife and I went on a date. We went to see the Russian vampire movie Night Watch, which I thought was great. I really enjoyed it. And then we go to Dantana's, and we're treated very nicely. And we were given this big, beautiful booth. We're having a nice New York steak with some chicken marsala, Caesar salad, spaghetti. And we're talking. We're having this conversation about our relationship. And we're talking about my first marriage. And we're talking a little bit about what makes our marriage great and how when you're monogamous and when you trust each other and you're not really hiding anything, that the sex is so much better and so much more, and that it really makes the relationship solid when you have that sort of intimacy. And I'm talking about this stuff, just talking about how wonderful it is to be with one woman and to be sexually attracted to her. And right in the next booth, Ron Jeremy walks in. Plops is behind right on the seat there to eat dinner. So I'm sitting there going, sex is so much better when you don't, you know, when you're not distracted, you know, or you're not cheating on somebody. And it's so important just to be one person. There's Ron Jeremy just shoveling bread into his mouth. The man who has had sex with, you know, thousands of people. And I was weird. I was lost in that sort of conflict of, is it really better? Is his life better? But then you keep looking at Ron Jeremy, and he may be a happy man. He may be a rich man, but How is his heart? Can you explain that to me, Greg Fitzsimmons? Let me introduce you first. Right now we have this is actually a true statistic. We have broken the record for number of people in this room who have hosted a Viacom game show featuring Matt Price as a sidekick. Greg Fitzsimmons is here. Greg was on, what was that one you were on?
Idiot Savants,
which lasted a while. Mine, never mind the Buzzcocks, lasted like 12 minutes. And Matt was one of the sketch players on that show.
Yeah, he was great. He's a very talented guy.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Ron Jeremy, because that's really where it started.
Well, it was just one of these things where I do feel good about my relationship, and I have not I'm not, as I've always said, a porn addict or anything. But there is something satisfying about having sex with many different people, but it's different. And I tell you, right now in my relationship, it's best. It's the best it's ever been. And Ron Jeremy was just like this little devil sitting there,
making me wonder. Literally over your shoulder.
He was right there. I'm looking at my wife saying beautiful things to her, and there's Ron Jeremy just shoveling bread into his mouth, waiting for spaghetti.
Well, he's not the brightest guy in the world. I've talked to him. And
uh-huh.
He's happy where he is. He'll always be happy where he is.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the first pornography I ever saw, we used to go to a place in Albuquerque when I was in high school. Me and my friends, it was the Pyramid Theater. It was before video, so you actually had to go to the dirty places.
Sure.
And he was in one of the first ones I ever saw, and he's lasted, he's lived, he's become a clown now. He's like the clown prince of porn.
Well, what's amazing is that porn really was, it was dirty, and it was hidden, and it was in theaters mm-hmm. and trench coats. And now, like we were talking about, it's part of the mainstream culture, and he
scary.
Has become like a guy who a teenager would have a poster of in his room. He's
I think
pop.
That's scary, though, a little bit. Like I was just talking about that movie. What was the movie we were talking about? The Girl Next Door?
Yeah.
That seemed really wrong to me.
I don't know if it's scary. It doesn't scare me, because I think that the same kind of guilt and shame that's associated with porno, because I, hosting the Porno Awards, I went to a lot of the shoots. I went to, and
God,
I saw them shooting porno. And it really demystified it for me, and it took a lot of the shame away from it, because I saw that these people, they take their job seriously. They're checked by docs. There's no health risks. They're having sex. It's being filmed, and it's helping people that need an aid to, because they're alone. There's fat people. There's people that have bad social skills.
But let's be honest, though. I agree, and I have no problem with porn per se. But when I think about the first time that I saw pornography when I was in high school, it tainted my perception of what sex was to the point where it completely screwed my head up.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first saw it, I had not had sex yet.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the way sex was supposed to be. And it really screwed me up for, till last week.
Yeah. Now you've come full circle.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah. It desensitizes you at a young age, which is a shame. The first time I saw porno, I was I grew up in New York, and I my best friend was a Colombian kid named David Aranguren.
Mm-hmm.
And his older brother was Hector,
mm-hmm.
who's now in jail for dealing cocaine. Who knew?
Yeah.
And I was sitting in his dad owned a Spanish bodega downstairs called Horatio's Las Americanas.
That's great.
And we'd sit upstairs and we'd watch stuff. And his Hector comes home one day and I'm like, I don't know, 11.
Yeah.
And he pops in a porno video. And,
that's just weird.
And we start watching it and I got an erection. Uh-huh. And then
good for you.
Hector grabbed it.
Oh, come
and
on.
Started laughing. Like, well, that's kind of the Latino culture. Hey, look at you. You know, like he was proud of me.
That's Latino culture, grabbing an 11-year-old's erection after you put a porn tape in front of your son?
Well, you know, in Latino
I've never heard
culture,
of that
no,
one.
The grandmothers will actually perform fellatio on the boys.
Stop it.
Yes, it happened with Ilan Gonzalez.
Wait a minute.
Give him fellatio.
877-520-1150. Please, would somebody defend the Latino culture and tell me it is not common for grandmothers to fellate their grandsons as some sort of, what is that, an initiation?
I think it's just their way of showing affection in the family.
That's crazy. All right, so that's your first experience. I think my point was that the desensitizing thing, let's stick with that, and also the objectification of women and of sex in general. I think that if you're not allowed to at least fumble around not knowing what you're supposed to do at least a couple of times, and you go into it thinking that, that
well, then on a personal level, it worked against you. But if you talk about objectification of women, aren't we doing women a favor? They don't want to be fumbled with. They want to see a guy like Ron Jeremy, who is known for performing fellatio.
When they're 15?
Sure, you're being schooled. Here's how to do it. Here's how to pleasure a woman. How are women's groups going to come out against that?
No, because pleasuring women and having intimacy and knowing how to have sex, if you learn that with somebody and maybe if you both watch a porno or you both explore together, that's one thing. You're sort of encouraging, like, 25. Look, when you're 15, go out with a 30-year-old first just so you can learn the ropes and then go back to your kid.
Watch a 30-year-old on film, see what he's learned. Bring it into your game.
Hold on a second. Let's take this call. Michael in Santa Ana, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah. Is that
I'm a Latino, and I just want to let you guys know that it's not a common thing to get fellatio from your grandmother.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. I think we'll probably get a few more calls. Is it common for your father to come in with a porno tape?
No, that's not common either. Maybe an older brother.
Oh, okay.
Older brother.
An older brother like me, but I don't know about a father.
Okay.
No, well, Latino guys also hit puberty around 9.
No,
I'm Irish. I was like, I was 4 years away from any hair.
Then. I hit puberty around 13, just like everyone else, 12.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Take it easy.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah. So that's at least validation from one person that it's not Latino tradition necessarily.
I don't know if it's a tradition. Maybe it's more with the Cubans, but I know what happened with Ilan Gonzalez, and then there was a lot of discussion about that happens.
All right. Well, let's move on. So you're hosting I'm in a weird place with porn because I think there's a lot of things wrong with it, and I never feel proud of myself after I watch it. But I do believe that it has a right to exist. But I think it does taint people's perception of sexuality if you see it at too young an age.
No pun intended. Yeah, and what happens is you watch it, and then the actions that you perform with a woman become not so much what the woman would enjoy, like the finish of the act.
Yes, yeah.
Very often
right.
is not something. I don't know any women. Because I actually like porn that's kind of corny.
Yeah.
I like soft core. It's
sure.
her wedding night.
Yeah.
She's a virgin. She's taking her wedding dress off, and she's naked for the first time. Kind of yeah. shy. Sure, she's got
wow.
nipple rings and tattoos, but she's a virgin. She's
yeah.
kind of
okay.
new at this.
Yeah.
And you suspend your disbelief. And to me, it's always like the people that voted for Bush the first time,
uh-huh.
he came out and he said a bunch of stuff people needed to hear. Family values.
Right.
Patriot. Small government, all the stuff that he's gone against.
Mm-hmm.
But people needed to believe that, so they suspended their belief in what's obvious. He's not that guy.
Okay.
And in the same way, when I watch porno, I know this woman is a little hoary. She's in a porno movie.
Okay.
But I have to buy that she's a virgin at the beginning of the movie, or it doesn't really work. And by the end, when she's got a penis in each hand and
yeah.
she's performing oral on somebody, and you got to stop and go, hey, wait a minute. This woman is no stranger to a penis. And that's how the Republicans have to feel about Bush now. Like, come on. Didn't you see this coming?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I respect the fact that you still appreciate porn narrative because, man, I just want to be right in the middle. I don't want to hear anybody talking. I just want to see what's happening. I want to see the act itself and then move on.
Really?
Yeah. And here's the other thing that I have moved
I need backstory now as I get older.
That's interesting.
I want to know the character's motivation in the scene. I swear to God. And I won't stick with it, but I need that as a springboard into my own narrative. I'll then take it over.
The one thing I have shifted,
I'll punch it up.
The one thing I've shifted in my opinion in terms of political opinion or my liberal opinion or whatever it is, my own opinion about porn is that I used to, you know, really blame the porn industry for victimizing women, but now I've sort of moved past that into a, everyone makes their own choices. As you said, it is a business. People are making choices. Whether or not it's pathological or not is that individual's business. It doesn't mean that she is not making a choice or he is not making a choice. So let's shift gears a little bit. Wait, a couple more calls about validating this thing. How are you, Dave and Covina? What's up?
Hey, how's it going? Two things. Yeah. First off, I don't know what you know about Latins, but that's definitely not cool. Maybe with Cubans or Colombians, but I don't know. Not Mexicans. Second thing, I love the Bush analogy, man. He's the Ron Jeremy of politics. Like, you couldn't have said it better.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's a, and let's do one more. This is from Kathy. Let's have some female energy on the show. How are you, Kathy?
Hey, you know what? I had an opportunity to meet Ron Jeremy about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I was dating Scott Irish, who was one of his co-stars, and their friend Randy West, who were a couple of delightful gentlemen. And Ron Jeremy was such a pig. He was so rude. It totally turned me off to ever watching porn again because it was impossible to feel any kind of turn on watching this guy perform, knowing what a nasty personality he had.
Oh, that was the only turn off? Was his personality?
Oh, he was just, he's like one of the rudest pigs I've met in life.
Not the fact that he's like this weird, fat, hairy, trolly looking thing?
Well, if he was nice and a gentleman, you
would
kind of be forgiving, but...
Well, that's nice that you see past that. I appreciate about that, that you're willing, that you would have given him a second chance had he just been a gentleman.
And I haven't watched porn since. Thanks to him.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks.
Well,
bye.
You know, I was actually at one of the porno shoots I went to.
You're going to porno shoots?
Yeah, I went to two or three of them before.
You bring your kids?
You know, my wife was going to come, but we couldn't get a sitter.
God,
not making that up. And so I went to one, and yeah. I'm standing on the roof. They're between scenes, and I'm standing there with the director, who's French,
yeah.
And who worked with Truffaut, and he is telling
me things are not going well for that guy.
No,
he's taking a little. This career took a nosedive.
He's
at some point.
The guy.
Yeah.
He is the number one porn director,
okay.
So, or cinematographer.
So maybe he's
doing the shooter.
Well. Okay.
And so we're on the and they're
you mean the film shooter.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
And so he is standing there, and I start making fun of him because at the time the Muslims were all rioting in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking around. I'm standing with the other porn actors, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to kind of go over their heads. And then the other porn actor starts making jokes about it. Say, I guess they riot in socialist countries too. And they go on this whole diatribe about political systems, and I'm suddenly in over my head going,
wow.
Wait a minute. And these are the porn actors.
Well, so what you're saying is that maybe they are geniuses that just don't want to, you know, be bothered with having...
I'll tell you, it's that... I mean, that's oversimplifying it, but they were a lot sharper than I thought they would be, and a lot of them are just people that are pretty smart and just are not doing what the society wants them
perhaps
to do.
So I have to think about very complicated things while to keep themselves from coming too quickly.
Yes.
Well, I think what we're moving towards here is perhaps a Pulitzer for porn or maybe a Nobel Prize for porn.
Well, I like to think it stopped a couple wars.
Yeah.
It takes the edge off.
It's certainly stopped me from doing some bad things. I mean, worse things. It depends how you look at porn. Stay with us. We're talking to Greg Fitzsimmons. Let's talk about family and stuff when you come back. Can we do that? You think?
Mm.
You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150, 877-520-1150. It is 50 past the hour.
Back to a man who has never been flated by his grandmother, Mark Maron.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Greg Fitzsimmons is here. Taking us down the tubes.
Yeah.
That's all right, man. I think it's a reasonable topic. I've always liked talking about it, and some people are on one side or the other side. But let me try and make it topical and relevant to people that perhaps don't watch porn. 70 million people who paid for porn service online through a company called iBill had their personal information released on the internet. This could be any company, could be any service that you get or anything you buy. This is the weird thing about the internet. You look at that thing, secured connection, you just assume like, Okay, because the one thing you don't realize is that, first of all, the information, it was names, phone numbers, emails, and IP addresses, passwords, types of credit card. So you ask yourself, well, how does this happen? Because it did say secured when I did the transaction. How can we trust these machines, folks, when there's a human sitting at a console looking at the information? Apparently a guy, just an employee at iBill, some guy took the transaction records, walked out, sold them on the black market. Just millions, 17 millions. This scares me more than anything, but they've trained us. My wife, every day, the mailman comes with a box. I'm like, what did she buy? I don't even know. Do you have that problem at home?
Well, I think also when it's things that people are ashamed of, the companies tend to abuse you more because they know that you're not going to make a big stink about it. You know, you buy a rubber vagina on the internet or something and it's defective. You're not going to.
You're probably going to throw away.
Yeah, you're going to throw it away.
Do you have this issue? I don't know what the hell. Sometimes boxes come and the mailman's like, I don't know. It's not even a matter of porn. It's just she does almost all her shopping on the internet now. There's no reason to ever go to a mall or anything.
Yeah, it is the best way to shop. You're not paying taxes. They bring it to your house. You can comparison shop online and get the best deal. It's just a matter of, you know, having your identity stolen.
Scary, man.
Yeah.
I've gotten to this point where I cut and paste everything. Like, I have this sheet on my computer with all my passwords. I just assume that somebody is tracking every keynote, every note.
They are.
So I put everything on a sheet that's cut and paste. So unless someone steals my computer, they're not going to know. But still,
I'm a little more hopeful. I think the apocalypse will happen before any of that stuff happens.
Do you ever have that feeling where it's like, I hope the world ends before I die so I don't miss anything?
Yeah.
I say that on stage sometimes and no one laughs, but how come you understand it?
Sometimes I get gas pains in my chest and I think I'm having a heart attack, and I get happy.
Uh-huh.
I think,
because you're like,
finally,
it's done, finally. There's a sadness to that. So it looks like we're running out of time. We're not going to be able to talk about kids and other things, but why don't you tell me what you got going on? What do you want to plug?
I'm going to be on Howard Stern on Wednesday morning, and then Thursday night I'll be on the Conan O'Brien show.
Were you just practicing for Stern? People on the blog are like, why are they talking about porn? Well, we just figured it out. Yeah, apparently Greg was just warming up.
And Friday I have a brand new half-hour special on Comedy Central at 9 o'clock.
Okay, well here, this is some validation. Ileana Gonzalez's grandmother allegedly touched his genitals and bit his tongue.
Okay.
So you kind of, in your head it just melded together because that's where your head goes.
Well, that's how, when you fantasize, different images all...
So you did another Comedy Central Presents?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I did the first season back in.
Yeah, me too. I did that too. And so they gave you another one, huh?
Well, I was...
That's good. Good for you. No, it's great, man. It's good. No, seriously.
I had a nice crowd show up. What was your crowd like on your first Comedy Central?
It was Samoan teenagers. I don't even know what the hell that is. Literally, they busted them in from somewhere. Samoan teenagers.
Wow.
All right, folks. Thanks a lot, Greg. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark.
AM 1150, Progressive Talk. It is 58 past the hour.